Good morning, church, family and friends. It is good to see you here in person. For those that are joining us online, it is good to have you with us, whether you're here Sunday live or maybe you're here Tuesday or Wednesday. Either way, we are grateful to have you here. We've been doing this series called Cultivate and looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and not just what the fruit of the Spirit is, how do we see that fruit grow in our life? And today, as Jeremy pointed out as he was singing and praying, we're going to be talking about joy. And so, what a fun topic, right? All right, good. Some of you are like, nah, I don't like joy. Joy's not that fun. I actually, as I was looking through all my news articles on my phone, I came across several different articles talking about joy and happiness in our lives. And medical, mental health experts have gotten together and talked about things that are impeding our joy, that are keeping us from feeling joyful and happy in our lives. And then what can we do about it? What are some things that we can add to or take away? That was one of those things. Dum, dum, da, dum, dum. It's over. Let's close in prayer. So here's what the medical health experts found out about. These are four things that get in the way of us feeling happy or joy. Number one, shame, guilt, and worry. Wow. Thank goodness for the experts. Because I never would have thought worry would get in the way of my happiness, right? When everyone else, I don't know they're working hard, but does anybody else worry? Show of hands. Some of you right now are worried about raising your hands because you're worried what people will think about you raising your hands and how much you worry and what the outcome is going to be of that. But worry and shame and guilt get in the way of our happiness. Kind of a duh, but we get that okay. Second thing is things that take away from happiness or joy in our life is not taking action in our life. And this can go one of two ways. One, like, we have opportunities to do things in our life. We have adventures to go on or just different options we can take, but we fail to take action on those. And sometimes by failing to take action, failing to step out in faith and do things, we limit the joy and the happiness that we can feel in our lives. So one way is we fail to be active. And by failing to be active, we limit our joy. But the second side of that is we're too active, especially in the United States, especially in Southern California. We're always looking for the next thing that's going to happen to maintain our happiness. It's what they call FOMO, fear of missing out. And so we're never really enjoying the happiness of the event that we're in because we're trying to figure out what's the next event that's going to keep this happiness going. But we're never really feeling happy because we can't stop and experience it. So sometimes we're not experiencing happiness and joy because we're not choosing the activity of inactivity. Just sit in the moment and let it be. Shame, fear, worry, not taking action in your life. Third thing is comparing yourself to others or should statements. There is always going to be someone that is smarter than you, better looking than you, stronger than you, more charismatic than you, taller than you, whatever, more than you. There's going to be people that are more than you in life. Amen? I'm still looking for that one for me, but I'm kidding. I find those people every day, and I don't find them in the mirror in front of me. There's always going to be somebody better than you, and the more that we compare ourselves to other people and think that we don't measure up or we're not good enough is going to rob you of the joy and happiness in life. In the same way, should statements. I should be this far in my career. I should have this by now. I should have this. The more shoulds that we have in our life is another form of comparison. Robs us of happiness. And the last thing is this, isolation. Isolation is not good for anyone, not for an extended period of time. Sometimes it's good to just break away and just be like, okay, Lord, we can do this. Let's go. But I read a story of a woman. I think she was like 538 days alone in a cave. And that's crazy to me to think that. Like, I like isolation, don't get me wrong, but not that long. I actually like to be around people but not have to interact with people, which makes preaching really, really awkward sometimes. But it's not good to be in isolation. Too much isolation can rob us of our joy. So another mental health expert, who's written 10 books on happiness, she's given us 5 things to do in your life to help bring, make your happiness and joy better. So you know 4 things that get in the way. Here's 5 things you can do to make your life better and happier. You ready? Number one, when you wake up, focus on that what gets me out of bed in the morning thought. Mine is my wife calling me lazy. So I'm like, ooh, bed is nice. Bed wants me to stay here all day and watch TV. But not really. But we have those moments, like there are things in your life that cause you, that you want to get out of bed to go and do. Maybe it's your job or just whatever it is, or relationships or meetings. Focus on that. Why do you get out of bed in the morning? Number two, I don't agree with everything they say. Number two, walk 3 miles. I didn't write the article. I haven't written 10 books on happiness. Can I walk them on a hoverboard? Can I sit in roller skates on a treadmill and get those 3 miles in? Like, I don't know that, but walking 3 miles could make your life happier and more joyful. Don't get distracted while you're doing tasks. Stay focused on the task at hand. If distractions come in, like, write it down and put it aside so you can take care of it later, but focus on what you're doing now. Fourth thing, before you go to bed, make up a card with the 3 most important things that you have to accomplish tomorrow. Get those out of your mind so you can rest easy. And the fifth thing is this: when the sun sets, turn your phone off. Yeah, some of you are like, what? How does that add to my happiness? I think all of these things are great, and there's some truth in all of them. But what none of them are talking about is, where do faith and where does Jesus and where does God fit into our joy and happiness? They're looking at all the things that we can do, but they're not looking at where God fits into that. So let me ask you this question, honest question that I want to hear answers for, and take your turn. I want to remind you of this. I've been a drummer forever, so I don't hear well. So when you give me your answer, shout it out. On the screen, we'll have it up here. What brings you joy? What makes your eyes sparkle? What makes your heart leap up and down? My grandmother's. Granddaughters, good. Living for Jesus. My fiance. Survey says. Good answer. It made it on the board. Anybody else? What makes your heart leap up? Time with family. Good. Pickleball. Yes. Yes, sir. We've had people that want to put a pickleball court in our parking lot, and I said no. There's a reason, and it's not because I don't want a pickleball court there. So there's all these things that bring joy in our life, and the world talks about happiness and talks about what you can do to add to your happiness or add to your joy, things you need to add to your life or things that you need to take away to your life to experience more happiness and joy. But God has a different plan for you. And today, as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, specifically joy, I'm excited to talk about it, because do you know that God, not only does he care about you, he cares about your joy. He cares about the joy that you have in your life. Have you ever thought about that? Well, I know God loves me and he died on the cross to save me. God actually cares about the joy in your life. 430 times in the Bible, the word joy or rejoice is used. 430 times. God cares about the joy that we feel and the joy that we experience in life. And that's what we want to talk about today. I want to talk about that biblical joy that God wants to grow in you, that the fruit that he wants to ripen in you, that you would lead a life filled with joy, like overflowing with joy, God bless you, and just exuding that joy to others around you as well. And to do that, we're going to kind of talk about, what is the difference between joy and happiness? And what does the Bible say about joy? And why are those two things different? And as we do that, we're going to have to change the way that we think about things, and the way that we feel about things, and the way that we view things. You with me? So kind of our bottom line today is this, as we're going to go through this. If we want to experience true joy, we have to look beyond ourselves and our circumstances. If you want to experience true joy in your life, you have to look beyond yourself and beyond your circumstances. And we'll break this down a little bit more as we go through this. We're going to be reading from John chapter 15, just a few verses this morning, verses 8 through 11. So if you wouldn't mind standing with me as we read from God's word. Even if you're at home, if you would stand with us. If you're driving, it's okay to sit. And the reason we stand is God's word is the ultimate authority here. It's what we fall to. We give him honor, and we recognize that honor and praise him as we do this. John 15, starting with verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Let's pray together, church. God, I thank you that you are a God who loves us. You created us. We wouldn't exist if it weren't for you. God, you give us eternal life through the death of your Son. But you're also a God that cares about our joy. And not just having joy in our life, but abundant, overflowing joy. So God, I pray that this morning you work in all of our hearts and all of our minds, that you challenge us and you move us toward that place where we're cultivating that fruit of the Spirit of joy in our lives. God, that each and every one of us, that no matter what has happened in our life or is currently going on in our lives, Lord, that we can experience that joy that we find in you. So God, we give you this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, church. I'm not going to go over all these verses too much. I'm kind of going to use them as a springboard. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Brandon preached through John 15 as we looked at Jesus being the true vine. He did an excellent job. There's nothing I need to add to what he did. But I want to use this because Jesus is talking about joy here. And he gets to all these things of remaining in him, abiding in him, dwelling in him, so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete or made full. And I think it was great. I didn't put the picture up. One of my favorite pictures just growing up and still looking at it, I love. There's a portrait somebody did probably back in the 70s or 80s called Jesus Laughing. And it's your typical like British-looking Jesus with long hair, just kind of sketched out. But he's just got his head back a little bit, and he's laughing. And I'm like, man, that is the greatest picture of Jesus. Do you ever sit back and consider Jesus as being happy and joyful? Like just laughing and having fun. If he didn't, what good would if he was like angry and upset with the world all the time, right? And like flip, like all Jesus ever did was flip over tables, and then Jesus comes to the disciples and says, I want my joy to be in you. They'd be like, what joy? Like, I haven't seen you joyful at all. But how exciting for them, because they've seen the joy of Jesus. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to be joyful as well. They know that joy, and they want to have that joy. Jesus is joyful, that my joy would be in you, and that your joy would be made full, complete, and overflowing. And so we'll talk about that in a minute. Before we get there, let's talk about this difference between happiness and joy. Is there a difference between happiness and joy? And if there is a difference, why even bother talking about the differences? There is, biblically. The word happy is used 10 times in the Bible, so you know. It's not an unbiblical word. It's 10 times happy, 430 times rejoice and joy. There's a biblical difference between the two. Happiness really deals with the emotional side of things. When things are going well, we get that. It's that like, you know, it's like when you have that great meal or you're hanging out with a great group of friends or you're just on that family vacation and you have that like, I wish life could just stay like this right now. I'm happy right now. Is happiness good? Yeah, it's a good thing. Happiness isn't bad. I don't want to say that happiness is bad. The problem with happiness is happiness depends on what's going on around you. And life, in a snap of a fingers, can change that happiness moment for you and rob you of that. Happiness deals with feelings. Joy is different. Joy is a deep-seated, rooted state of being. To quote the band Boston, joy is more than a feeling, right? Some of you are not going to hear another word. You're singing that song in your head. And I'm all right with that because I want you to know that joy is more than a feeling. It's not just a state of like, oh, I'm happy. It's beyond happy. It's grounded in faith in God. It's grounded in his promises. It's grounded in the hope that we have in him in this life and the next, that God is always with us, that God carries us. Joy is not ever chased away. It is unwavering. It is always constantly there. And God wants that joy to abound in our lives. When life comes crashing down, and happiness gets robbed away from us, joy is there lifting us up above the rising waters. That's biblical joy. That's what God wants to see, that fruit grow in our lives. And so how do we get this joy when Jesus talks about that my joy would be in you and that your joy would be full. How do we get to that place? How do we get to that place where we're experiencing that kind of joy in our lives? And that's what I want to talk about. And that's why it's important to know that true joy is not found in our circumstances or what we have. It's beyond that. So let's look at a few things this morning, if you will. First point I want you to see is this, that joy is not found in what we have. Amen? It's kind of a duh statement, because we get that like, I get it, but I like some of the things I have, but some things I don't have, and then we get in that comparison. Joy is not found in what we have. And often we kind of equate joy with what's going on around us, the things that we have and how good life is going. And that really deals more with happiness. And happiness really deals more with chasing after our pleasures. We want to feel happy, so we're going to chase after the things that make us happy. Joy is different than that. It's not found in the things that we have. Happiness is good. Joy is superior to happiness. Nothing wrong with being happy in life. I want you to be happy in life. More than that, God wants you to be joyful in life. So often we chase after these things that will bring us joy, but we're chasing after the pleasures. And God says, let me fill you with my joy. Let me kind of give you an example to talk about that joy is beyond what we have. Psalm chapter 30, verses 1 through 5 say this. I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. And what a packed, like, that those verses are so dense with good, like, just, man, sit and chew on that. David is the one who wrote this. David is a guy that's lifted up as, like, probably, if not one of the top five, one of the top three people in the Bible that if we're going to model our life after someone, David is it. He's the guy they call the man after God's own heart, for crying out loud. Abraham is called God's friend. Paul is just awesome. There's good guys. And then there's Jesus. You know, he'd be good to model your life after too. But David is up there. He's the guy. And here's David writing this thought. And to be sure, I want you to make note, David was not perfect, right? He had his fair share of mistakes, as I do, as you do. But David is writing this, and let's break this down a little bit. You rescued me. How is life going for David right now? Precarious, on the edge of a cliff, barely hanging on. But God, you rescued me. But right now, David is finding himself in a place needing rescue. That might sound good to some of you. Sounds a little scary to the rest of us. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. Meaning David is in a time of struggle. David is in a time where people are attacking him. They're coming after him. You restored my health. Mental, physical, emotional, I don't know, maybe all three, maybe a combination. But he's not doing well. You brought me up from the grave. You brought, David is at death's doorstep. And God, you rescued me. You kept my enemies from coming over me. You've restored my health. You brought me back from the grave. Things are not going good for David. His circumstances in life are terrible. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. Life is awful, unbearable, disappointing, drowning for David right now. But God, joy comes with the morning. Joy comes with the morning. Because joy is always there. Sometimes it's just hard to see. And David gets that. And he knows that. We all have different struggles. We all have different obstacles that we're facing in life or have faced in life. We all have hardships that we go through. But joy is always there. And joy is always coming every morning. Amen? Let me give you some scenarios when we talk about that life is not found in what we have. Your boss calls you into the office and tells you, we've got to let you go. Where's the joy in that moment? You've poured your heart out into your kids and raising them up and championing them up, and they're starting to live life and do things completely opposite of what you could agree with. Where's the joy in that? You're watching your parents or your spouse lose their battle to Alzheimer's or dementia. Where's the joy in that? You go to the doctor and you hear the three worst words that you never want to hear anyone, especially a doctor, say. You have cancer. Where's the joy in that? You get a call in the middle of the night that something has happened to your child and they're at the hospital and you need to come, or worse. Where's the joy in that? Because the reality is, life does not care about your joy or your happiness. Bad things happen to all of us. And some of us have been dealt some pretty downright awful hands. But joy is not found in life's circumstances. Joy is not found in what we have. Joy is not found in what we're currently going through. Joy is found beyond all those things. Weeping may last, but I need you to know, joy comes with the morning. Amen? Some of you are in that night of weeping right now, and I want you to know, God cares about you, He cares about your joy, and joy will come with the morning. And I want you to hold on to that anchor of truth. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the church, and he says this. I'll put it up on the screen. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. A severe test of affliction. Not a small test of affliction. Not like, it's a little bit uncomfortable. A severe, overwhelming, life-shattering situation test of affliction. And poverty. Not, I can't afford to buy a hamburger from McDonald's today poverty. Poverty that is, I don't know how I'm going to feed my family today, much less all week poverty. Poverty that seems never-ending. The Greek says the extreme poverty means deep poverty, that you can't find the bottom of poverty. In severe affliction, in extreme poverty, the church has an abundance of joy. Yeah, it's okay. It's got a lid. Or we're going to get electrocuted. And I'm not electrocuted yet, so I'm okay. I am rejoicing. In severe affliction, in extreme poverty, the church doesn't just have joy, it's abounding in joy. And how on earth does that happen? Because that church and those people have figured out that joy is not found in what I have or in life circumstances. That joy is found beyond myself and beyond those things. Amen? Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. Joy is not found in what we have is the first point. Second point is this, but it is in who God is. Joy is found in who God is. Psalm chapter 16 says this. Let me turn there. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What kind of joy is found in God's presence? Fullness of joy. God, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. Not just some joy, not just a little joy. Fullness of joy. Joy is not found in what we have, but it is found in who God is. Amen? And I love that. That's why we look back to Jesus' statement in John chapter 15. Abide in me, remain in me, dwell in me, stick with me. You've got this, kid. Let's do it. Because when you do that, my joy, I want my joy to be in you so that your joy can be made full. Because Jesus' joy is fullness of joy. He's not looking to give you partial joy. He's not looking to give you some joy. He's looking to give you fullness of joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not like, oh, look, there's a little fruit. No, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with all this fruit of joy in my life? Joy fruit, right? And that's what God wants to do. Fullness, abounding joy. Will you find happiness in life without God? Sure. Can you find some joy in life without God? Absolutely. Will you find deep-seated, anchoring, never let you down joy, fullness of joy, abounding, overflowing joy without God? No. No. In God's presence is fullness of joy. Joy is not found in what we have. Joy is not found in what we chase after. Joy is not found in our circumstances. Joy is found in God and God alone. Jesus says, in me, and that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, here's the cool thing. I'm going to geek out a little bit. Are you okay with that? Good, because I don't do it all the time, but sometimes you have to geek out on things. The Greek word for full is pleroo. It's to be full, and this is what it means. Put it up on the screen. To make full, to fill up, to cause to abound, to supply liberally, to complete, to fill to the top so that nothing will be wanting. That's the kind of joy Jesus wants you to have. Amen? Not, is my glass half empty or half full of joy? There's no room to put more joy in my glass joy. That's the joy that Jesus wants to give you. Pleroo, to fill it above and beyond. So thank you for putting up with me for being a geek, but we're going to geek out a little bit more. You're still okay with that, right? I don't talk about the Greek a lot, and I don't talk about grammar a lot, because all you're like, bro, I'm out of school. We don't want to talk about that. But let me go there for a minute. I love the Greek language of the Bible because we can read it in our English, but we don't get the depth of what it's really saying. Jesus says that my joy would be in you, that your joy would be made full. That be made full is a verb that's written in the passive voice. Now, you might be going, what's the passive voice? There's several different voices for verbs, but the two main ones are active voice and passive voice. Active voice, you are committing the action of the verb. Passive voice, you are receiving the action of the verb. Active voice, I hit a ball. Who did the action? I did. I hit a ball. Passive voice, I was hit by a ball. Who hit the ball? I don't know, but I got hit by the ball. I received the action of the ball being hit. That your joy would be made full is written in passive voice. And what I want to tell you what that means is there's not really anything you can do to make the joy in your life fuller or abound or overflow. You can't stick the gas pump in there and fill up more joy in your life to make it fuller. God will fill you with abounding joy. It's not you. It's not up to us. The world wants to tell you what to do to add or detract from your life to get happiness. And God says, I just want you to park yourself in a place where I can fill you with my joy, abounding and overflowing. Isn't God awesome? Man, I love it. I love geeking out on things because God is good. The spirit of joy that God wants to give us, only he can give us. We have a responsibility to put ourselves in that spot to receive that filling of joy. But God will be the one that fills us with joy. My wife has taken on a new job recently, and it's great, and there's a lot of benefits to it, but it's difficult because she travels a lot, and so she's gone. And my wife is my best friend. She's like we just go out and do things. We play games together, and we play pickleball together, you know, and that's why I do want the court, but we do all these things and hiking and adventures, and when she's gone, it's not the same. And we text each other, and we call each other, and we even snap. I'm not that old that I'm not cool. And we've got our streaks alive. It's amazing. We're at like 179, right? I got to do my snap pretty soon. And all these things are good, and it's fun to see all the pictures, but it's not the same. And I can go play golf with my friends, and I can go play pickleball with my friends, and I can go out to dinner with people, and I can do a whole bunch of stuff when she's not here, but it's not the same as being with her. And I love my kids, and I play cards with my kids. And my kids bring a certain amount of joy, but my kids aren't my best friend in life. My wife is. And so when she's gone, there's a part of me that is missing things. And I can do a whole bunch of things, but I won't have the joy in those things that I have, like the joy I have in my wife. Joy is not found in our circumstances, in the things that happen to us, and the things that go on, the things that we have. Joy is found in God alone. And even the joy I have in my wife can't compare to the joy that God fills me with. Joy is found in God alone, and in his promises, and in his faithfulness. And I love what Peter says as he writes in 1 Peter. Peter's one of those guys that followed Jesus, one of the disciples. In his first letter writing to Christians, he says this: though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Friends, that's the kind of joy God wants you to have in your life. Filled with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Amen? God cares about your joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit of joy, and I'm going to kind of wrap this up. And the band, you can come on up. The whole series isn't just about on what is joy. It's about how do we cultivate joy in our lives. What are things that we can do to see God grow in our lives and grow that fruit in our lives? So let me give you four things as we wrap this up. How do we cultivate? How do we see this fruit abound and grow? How do we get in that spot where God can fill us? Number one, focus on God and his character. What does it mean that God is holy and righteous and just and merciful? Look up verses that talk about that. Focus on who God is. If joy, fullness of joy is found in his presence, spend time in his presence, right? That's where it is. If you want to feel cool on a hot day, go to the Costco Business Center and walk in the meat freezer. It's amazing. It's fantastic. Love it. If you want to feel cold, go stand in a freezer. If you want to feel joy, spend time with God, because that's where fullness of joy is. You can go on YouVersion, which is an app you have on your Bible, YouVersion of the Holy App. And there's Bible plans that can just direct you on just focusing on who God is. Spend time in his presence, number one. Second thing, make a joy journal. Get a little notebook and write things down, how God has been faithful, God has been providing, things that God has done, how you've seen him just acting and interacting and doing things. Because when those times come, when the times of weeping during the night comes, it is great to have a joy journal to look back on and go, I know this and I see this is going on, but look what God has done throughout the years. I'm not going to focus on what's at hand. I'm going to focus on who's in this with me. And I'm going to let his joy fill me even in the darkest of times. Third thing, fill your mind and life with praise music. I'm going to be honest, probably most of us don't do any worship music and sing out loud worship music outside of Sunday morning. Not all of us, but it's probably not a practice that we all do. Do it. Spend more time just singing out God's praises. It's a way to focus on him. And you can choose your style. You can go on the radio now and like, I want to do 80s Maranatha. I want to do hymns. I want to do Elevation. You can focus on whatever you want, but spend more time just singing praises to God. Ephesians chapter 5:19 says this. It reminds us to speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. If you want to cultivate joy in your life, spend time praising and worshiping the one that gives it to you. Amen? Last thing is this, is take the long view on life. See beyond your circumstances. Life is not all about what is going on now. The hurt and the pain and the frustration and the disappointment and the things that are drowning you are temporary. And temporary might be a day or a week or a month or years or the rest of your life. But this life will end. The next life God has planned for us is eternal. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Don't get so bogged down in what's happening now that you lose sight of the promises of hope that we have in him. Even Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12 says this, that we should fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus wasn't focused on the cross and the pain that was going to happen on the cross and the trial and the beating and all the unfair things that were about to happen to him. But for the joy set before him beyond what he can see here, he endured this because of that. Because Jesus looked at life with the long view. Look at life with the long view. God has redeemed you and saved you and has promised to give you an eternal home. What's happening now in life can be hard, can be joyful, can be great. It's temporary. What God has in store for you is eternal. And he has part of that eternal even here right now with you. Amen? Take the long view in life.